Man, thank you. You guys are a hearty bunch. We thought we had the heat fixed. It does not appear so. So we'll be getting on that. But thanks for your patience. I see those jackets. That's a good move. Let's look at God's word together. Acts chapter 4. We're continuing after we left off last week. And we're jumping in at verse 23. Going to read up through verse 26 and then continue looking at the scriptures up through about verse 31. Acts chapter 4. This is the word of the Lord. Acts 4:23. When they, that is Peter and John, were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they, that is the whole church, heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed." In times like this, you and I need clarity of truth. We certainly do. There is much confusion. We need compassion for people, don't we? There is so much lack of compassion, even among sometimes those who profess to be Christians. And we need courage, especially courage, for both in Christ's cause. Because with boldness, the compassion that we have for others and the truth that we hold to in Christ will be delivered to where it's needed. Without boldness, I would submit to you, the compassion won't be really displayed. It'll just be sort of privately held. And the clarity of truth which we hold to, if that is what we indeed hold to, will not be delivered to where it is needed. So we certainly need boldness, and that's why we're in this series. If you're looking around the realities today as I'm looking around, I hope you agree, wow, the Christian church really does need, and I personally need, Jesus-centered, Jesus-given, Jesus-glorifying boldness. Well, I've got some good news for you today. Today's Bible text tells us of a group of believers who sought it and received it. And I want us to be that kind of people who seek it and receive it from God, to have boldness, and we're praying for courage, and we're having courage in our praying. Let's just sort of look at the Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, display of Jesus-style boldness history. You can look at your own Bible there. So there's a crowd that gathers after the man who's crippled is prayed for in the name of Jesus healed. And as this crowd gathers, Peter and John preach the gospel, but their preaching is interrupted. Right as they're getting sort of toward the conclusion, calling for a response, they're interrupted with the religious authorities showing up and arresting them because they're upset that they're proclaiming the name of Jesus. So they hold them overnight. The next day, they appear before the Sanhedrin. This is the very group of people who condemned Jesus to die. And right in front of that group, Peter and John once again proclaim the gospel boldly. And their Jesus-style boldness is so evident. When the religious leaders look at them, what do they notice? They notice they'd been with Jesus, and the boldness that they have, that is a Jesus-style boldness. And we talked last week about how the boldness that we seek is centered in Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. But the Sanhedrin then confer, they threaten Peter and John, they release them, and then what did Peter and John do? They continue boldly. You know, they more or less say, hey, we're not really going to listen to you. We'll just listen to God, okay? But they go to the church, and the church gathers, and that's where we're picking it up today. What was noticeable about Peter and John, Acts chapter 4, verse 13, let's look at it there, is now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. That's a word we're going to consider more today. It's used 31 times in the New Testament and a bunch of times in the book of Acts. And one of the things Peter and John boldly stated is the gospel. And this is stated so boldly and clearly there in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It's one of those verses that's definitely worth tucking away and saying, hey, this is one I'm going to pull out when I really need one. Like, okay, what is exactly the message? There is salvation in no one else other than Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so we must personally turn to believe in Jesus to be delivered from God's wrath and receive the forgiveness of sins. Now let's jump into today's message: seeking boldness from God and the boldness that God sends as we pray. Pray for boldness in mission. This is for every one of us. This is for the church collectively and for the believer individually. And if you've been with us a while, you know I used this same text in a message just about 7-8 months ago. And I thought for a minute, you know, maybe shouldn't use this one. But this is so good. I need to use it once again, although we're looking at it a little differently. The point is, pray for boldness. We're going to talk about seeking it from God. We're going to talk about God sending it to us. We need it. And we're going to spend some time in prayer today because this is a model for the church, that we seek the boldness that we need from God, and God sends it by his sovereign power and grace when we pray and ask for it. That's what they prayed for. Of all the things they could have prayed for when they were threatened, they gathered together the church and prayed for boldness. So we're going to explore this so we can seek it and that God could send it to us too. In this message series, I'm using the image of the coffee. And I haven't expounded on this illustration anymore, but who would want a weak cup of coffee? Come on, right? I mean, if you're going to drink coffee, you want it to have some boldness, right? And who would want a weak, wimpy, cowardly Christian? Who wants to say, yeah, I want to be one of those Christian cowards? No, come on, no, we don't want that. We want to be, yes, compassionate, right? It's not boldness that's mean. And we want to have clarity of truth. If we're bold about things that are not true, and that's totally unhelpful. But where we have compassion and clarity of truth, we want to be bold like that cup of coffee that you would love to enjoy. That's the kind of believers we want to be. That's the kind of church we want to be. And we need to ask God that we would be, and continue to ask him for that. That's what we're looking at today. Prayer is the first thing. So when things are hard, when you're confused, when the pushback is strong, when you say, you know what, if they knew what I believed, they'd probably not even want me to be around them. When you're confronted with those dynamics, what should you do? Pray. Pray first. Pray for boldness. Pray individually. Pray together as a community. Prayer is God's method for filling us with what we need and growing us in that boldness that we know we need. And so it's not just sort of going on and doing our thing and trying to figure it out and like, oh man, this is too bad and I wish it wasn't so hard and I'm, you know, confused and the opposition isn't good. And but no, pray, 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 pray. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said, Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And this was the mistreatment, the opposition, and the threats. And then we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, a reinforcement that God has put in place the plan. The plan is prayer. We can't overstate this enough. For us growing in what we need for doing his will. Yes, prayer for compassion. Yes, prayer for clarity. But especially prayer for courage. Because that's what they did. When they heard it, they prayed individually and together. They lifted up their voices together to God, that's prayer, and said, Sovereign Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. This is the pattern, of course, of the book of Acts, all the way back in Acts chapter 2. One of the features of that church was a church devoted to prayer. This is then what we must be to be a church receiving boldness from God on mission. And they prayed to God, the sovereign God, in submission to him. They prayed citing scripture and God's sovereign power, and in particular the power revealed in the person of the anointed one, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to jump in at verse 27 and verse 28. Just a reminder of the Jesus-centered power in the blood of Jesus that fuels our prayer. We pray because of the blood of Jesus. We pray through the blood of Jesus. We have access to God's presence in his name. We pray in light of the cross and the blood of Jesus. Truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. What is that? That is the work of the cross. The cross is God's game-changing plan. Yes, evil men did it. I know that. But the cross is God's game changer. So we pray in light of the cross. And then the hub of their prayer, praying in light of the cross in the midst of the reality of the threats. What is their prayer? What is their exact request to God? Here it is, Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants, that is us, to continue to speak your word with all boldness. That's God's method, that we seek him in prayer and are sent from him as we pray, the boldness that we need to continue in his gospel mission. That's what we're going to consider in greater detail today. So let's unpack a little more specifically the seeking. You say, well, you just ask. Well, let's look at exactly what it says, because we need to understand what they prayed for so that we can apply this to what we pray for and how we pray for what we pray for. In Acts 4:29, there's a lot there. And I want us to just pause and reflect on this profound verse. Lord, look upon their threats and. Now, if we were being threatened, my guess is that a lot of us, the first thing we would pray would not be to ask for boldness. And these are not bad prayers, but Lord, look upon their threats. And a lot of us say, and the first thing that would come to my mind is, and protect us, God. Please, God, protect us. And that's not a wrong prayer. Or another prayer we might pray is, God, look upon their threats and drive them back. Stop them from this nonsense. And that too isn't a wrong prayer. But what they prayed, it jumps at me every time I think about it. They didn't pray either of those right prayers. They asked God for the strength to meet the challenge. Can we, brothers and sisters, regularly ask God for the strength to meet the challenge? Ask him to infuse us individually and collectively with the boldness that we need for whatever we're up against, so we can stand firm, we can serve him as we ought, we can share the compassion and the sacrifice Christ calls us to do, and we can speak his word where he points us to speak it. So we're going to look at a little more detail of that request in four capacities, and this next slide gives us. First, there's the grant us, which is their petitioning God. There's the to continue, which is asking God for the strength for persevering, right? It's interesting. They were already kind of moving in that boldness direction, and some of us are, and some of us need God, probably not to persevere, but actually help me to start, God, to stop just stopping every time it gets a little bit hard. Because persevering is, it is getting hard, but you're continuing. Ask God for that persevering strength. And now grant us, not just hoping, but specifically appealing to God, to continue persevering when it gets difficult, to speak the word. That's proclaiming. Yes, we need boldness for seeing what's real, for sacrificial love to be displayed, for standing firm in the truth. We need boldness for all those, but we... we must not leave out speaking. And that's the one that they bring in here. Now, some of us say, well, that's not me. I want to push back on that. We're going to keep pushing back on that. No, this is part of what we are called to, all of us as believers. We got to say something. Not everything. It's not just going off on your opinions or getting into meaningless debates or whatever, but sometimes in the right places, we must speak. That's proclaiming. And of course, it's going to take boldness. That's precisely the point. That's what they're asking for it. To continue to speak, proclaiming with all boldness. His liturgy doesn't just say proclaim the word with boldness, but with all boldness. Why all boldness? Because I think it's pervasive. It's not just sometimes boldness. It's not spotty boldness. It's all that boldness is and all that boldness requires with all the resources that God gives. It's God kind of comprehensive, pervasive, and we need it. That's the kind of thing they prayed. Let's consider the scripture once again and just think about those words, how they prayed. They were petitioning God for persevering in proclaiming Jesus with pervasive power, pervasive boldness. And so we pray that kind of prayer. This then is what, as we're gathering together to pray, of all the things we could pray for, this should be one of those top things. As we're going into our time with the Lord to pray, and yes, there's all kinds of needs and issues and whatever, but I'm asking you, can this be one of the top things we pray for? Petitioning God for our persevering in proclaiming Jesus with pervasive power. I want us to just think about for a minute just an illustration about sort of the need for refueling and recharging. That this then is a matter of individual believers and of communities of believers as well, because these folks were acknowledging their need for God's refueling and recharging. Now think about if you're going to take a 400 or 500 mile trip in your car. And you're driving along up there, you're about, you know, mile 200 or 300, whatever, and like the car's not running. Like, I don't even know what the problem is. What's the big deal? I filled up back in Norwood, or if you got your EV, I plugged my car in back there. You probably hit that barrier a little sooner than 300 or whatever. But like, what's the big deal here? And I would say to you, hey, does your car need gas? Did you fill up? Or did you think you were going to go the whole way on one tank? Brothers and sisters, our spiritual tank needs refilling. Peter and John needed refilling. The early church needed refilling. So we too need refilling. And that refueling comes as we ask God. We seek him in prayer. Seek boldness from God. And then they are sent, and we are sent, boldness by God. Let's explore this. How and when God answers so that we would wait on him and receive it from him. And this is Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and especially 4, verse 32. Now, God, in his answer here, this is amazing, but he provided physical manifestations that pointed to the profound spiritual realities that were happening in this answer to prayer to advance their gospel witness. When they prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. This is a physical demonstration of God's power to remind these believers, wow, God is doing something here. And that, of course, is the work of the sovereign hand of God. I'm not saying that that always happens. I haven't personally seen it happen, although I've seen many displays of the sovereign power of God in answer to prayer. And I think if you're a believer, you probably have too. But as we think about this, I want us to look at three aspects of this sent by God boldness that we're going to especially drill down in on number two. But the first is the sovereignty of God. When we're asking God for things in prayer, it's not some kind of like, machine. where you push a button, I ask, and then God gives it. Obviously, God has designed prayer to be that which draws us into relationship with Him and surrender to Him and waiting upon Him. And oftentimes, even the things that God in His sovereign plan will do and His purpose to do, He doesn't do immediately when we just say, hey, God, I need this. Right? And so what we're reminded of here is that God is sovereign. This is the one they prayed to. Oh, sovereign God, the one who's like even working and ruling through the evil actions of evil men, through the most unjust act of human history and crucifying the Son of God, is actually through that bringing redemption. God is powerful and sovereign and working. So we submit to and surrender to Him. And part of that submission, as we express it in prayer and that relationship of trust, is that we wait on Him. It may take time. It may take time for God to provide these answers and directions. And so, and you say, well, why does God just like give us immediately what we ask when we ask it? Well, then that would make it so it's really not about God. So we are trusting Him and surrendering to Him in the sovereignty of God. What God does is to give what they need so they had boldness. Acts 4, verse 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the working of God. So they continue to speak the word of God with boldness. And of course, Peter had displayed this very boldness in sharing the gospel before the Sanhedrin. And now we're going to see in the next coming chapters of the book of Acts, the church lived in a way. They held themselves in such a way that they were held in high regard and esteem by many, because of the working and power of God as they submitted to Him and received from Him. But let's look, secondly, at the Spirit who fills us. We have to talk about this in more detail because there may be some confusion around this. What is happening here where it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit so that they continue to speak the Word of God with boldness? The Spirit now fills them in a way that is a refilling and refueling. How do I know that? Peter had already been filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The believers had all been filled with the Holy Spirit, every one of them who believed in Jesus at the moment of Pentecost when Jesus gave His Holy Spirit in a greater fullness. And every believer receives the Holy Spirit at conversion. So this is not like the first time the Holy Spirit's working has shown up in their life. This is God sovereignly providing a refueling and refilling of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look at just a few scriptures in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus actually promises this reality of the working of the Holy Spirit to be received at Pentecost by His followers and at conversion for everyone who believes in Jesus from then onward, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's the power for boldness, the power to stand, the power to serve, the power to love the way Jesus would want us to do so. That comes from the working of the Holy Spirit who indwells believers from Pentecost onward and from the point of conversion for each one who truly turns to Him. If we look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8, we see that the reality that Peter, who had already received the Holy Spirit, now is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 4, verse 29, is again filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this tells us this is an ongoing refueling, refilling for those who have once received Him. And this is very much like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, believers in Jesus are commanded to be filled, literally being filled all the time with the Holy Spirit. So we surrender and we ask God to refill us. We surrender and ask God to refill us. We surrender and ask God to refill us again and again and again. And He does. He does for the purposes of giving us that boldness for His mission. What God does when He fills them with this boldness, I'd like us to consider a little more detail in looking at Acts chapter 1 verse 8 sort of fleshed out through the book of Acts in the Spirit-given gospel-telling boldness that Luke seems to really emphasize. In Acts chapter 4 verse 13, 4 verse 29, 4 verse 31, 9 verse 27, 9 verse 28, 13 verse 6, 14 verse 3, 19 verse 8, 26 verse 6, 28 verse 31. In every one of these texts, when the believers receive the infusion of God's Spirit's working, what do? They speak. They tell. Something comes out of their mouth. It's related to the truth of the gospel. And I'm just encouraged that God gives that as we look to him in the working of his Spirit. Let's look lastly at the so what. Not only how God answers in the sovereignty of God and the Spirit who fills us, but the so what of their boldness. And these sort of underscore that. But if we consider the results of their boldness, I love what we see here in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and then 4, verse 32, and 4, verse 33. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit so that, and they continued to speak the word of God with all boldness, as Peter had done it earlier, and they are doing it now. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. That was a result of the boldness. Or Acts 4, verse 33. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's a result of the God-sent boldness. I suspect that some of you, as you're hearing me speak, are thinking, you know, this boldness thing is really cool. Pastor Bruce, I'm glad you're talking about it, and it's really a good thing for the church, but I'm not one of those, okay? that's some other Christians receiving boldness and strength, not me. anybody thinking like that? Okay, don't admit it. But I want to push back again by sharing with you a story. And this story just reinforces what the Bible is saying here, so I'm not making this up. But I think the story may help you to just go, okay, so this is just ordinary people in somewhat sort of rather ordinary ways, stepping outside of their comfort zone as God by the Holy Spirit fills them and infuses them with strength. So a few years ago, Lori and I were walking in the cemetery after visiting our granddaughter's grave. And what I saw, I'm going to describe it to you now, in that next little window is like a dramatic display of boldness. And it happened quite quietly, but it was clear to me after I just sort of observed it, and I just jaw-dropping, like, wow, this is boldness. And it was Lori and what she did, and she would tell you it wasn't her, it was not her style, it's not the way she views herself, but she was moved by God and led by God, and it was as if just supernaturally God by the Holy Spirit took her and did something, and I watched it. And I want to encourage you with that. I think you can say, oh, so there's moments that God can do something with me, my style, my personality, like that. So here's what happened. As we were walking, we noticed an older couple grieving at a grave. And then just my wife just sort of walked off, like there she went, right? And she goes over and engages this couple and finds out that they've just lost their adult son. And then just to watch God work, as Lori shared hope with her, the woman just wept in her arms. And Lori then prayed with her and offered hope and an invitation to grief share, which was happening at Trinity in that season, as it is in just a few weeks. And then the woman came to grief share that very week, And that's not the whole story, because what happened even more exciting after that was this woman at Grief Share was not only helped by Grief Share, but she became sort of this, as Lori reported to me, sort of this bold teller, even in her own deep brokenness, that our only hope is in Jesus. So that all the other folks in Grief Share, some of whom are sort of vacillating on where is our hope found, heard from the voice of this woman in her deep brokenness that our only hope is Jesus. So I want to encourage you to seek boldness from God and to receive the boldness sent by God, so that God is working in you and in your life in circumstances, situations where it's like, yeah, this is not easy. This is maybe uncomfortable. This is maybe even really hard. There may even be great opposition. But in wise ways, we can be bold. In Jesus-honoring ways, we can speak the word with boldness. So where do we end? Let me just share a couple of things. And the first is, if you're here today and you've yet to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you haven't yet personally turned and surrendered your life to him, acknowledging that upon that cross, he paid in full what was needed for your sins forgiveness. My appeal to you is to receive him today. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter states it, and this is the message for you to hear. There is salvation in no one else. There's no other place you're going to get what you need to stand before holy God in eternity other than through the name of Jesus, the one who gave himself on that cross for your sins' forgiveness. So you must personally turn, believe in him, trust in him to be delivered from eternal judgment. And my prayer is that you would take that step today if you haven't yet. And if you need help taking that step, please seek it out. Seek me out, one of our staff out, someone beside you out who can help guide you and encourage you and pray for you. There are many people today that are right tuned in to being bold enough that probably just someone on your right or left could do it just as well as I could. But don't delay. Take that step today. Receive Jesus if you haven't. And then I want to encourage us in prayer. Pray for this. Pray for boldness. Ask God for it. And I want to share with you a little bit, kind of my own personal journey related to this. So I believe in prayer and the necessity of prayer. And of course, this passage like this just reinforces this. And giving some thought to, like, okay, how do we pray together? How do we pray together as a church? And of course, good things happen. We pray together in small groups. Good things happen together when leaders gather together in prayer and different ministry teams gather together in prayer. I hope we have a lot of that. But how do we pray together? And it came to me, you know what? We're together every Sunday. We're together every Sunday. And I would submit to you that I think Trinity probably sees Sunday for praise, which is great, for preaching, which is great, for fellowship, which is great. But I want to encourage us to add one more thing that you see as your agenda every time you come here, and that's our agenda collectively every Sunday, is that we are praying together. Let's make our Sunday gatherings intentionally and intensively. Not just times for prayer to kind of get us started and get us out, but that we come together to ask God to do what only God can do. We ask God to fill us with boldness, with the power of his Spirit to advance his work individually and collectively. Let's make Sundays a prayer day. Let's do that every week if we can. And so I want to ask if we can just spend time praying right now. And I know there's a lot of things in your life personally. I know there's a lot of things we could pray for. But I hope and ask that the one thing we pray for is God's strength. That God give us strength. Petition him for the persevering in us for proclaiming Jesus with pervasive power. Can we have a time of silent prayer in that? So that means there's a whole lot of individual prayers going up to God. I love it. Around one thing. And I'd like to lead us in the closing of that prayer time. And then our team to lead us in our closing song as we give this to the Lord. Let's pray individually and silently right now. Lord, we need you. We need clarity to hold on to and stand in your truth. We need compassion to deliver that wisely with hearts of service. But Lord, we especially need in these times, as the church in Acts needed in their time of threat, boldness. Lord, grant us to continue. Grant us to continue to speak and to start to speak, if we haven't, your word with all boldness. Lord, fill us, renew us, strengthen us by your Spirit's working, both individually and collectively. May we not shrink back because it's hard, but may we stand and be given boldness to advance in your work in proclaiming Jesus. And we thank you and pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.